going to stream live, baby. They're going to show Top Kill live and explain how it works, I guess, in the interest of transparency, because they know the world is furious over what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico. Hey, hey, everybody. Hope you're warm and safe wherever you hail from. This is Kate Delaney, and the name of the show is America Tonight. So we're going to talk about BP in just a second here, but also mention a couple of quick headers right from the get-go, including this North Korea-South Korea deal, and the reason why North Korea is threatening action against the South. And we are saying here in the U.S. through Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, that we are there to support South Korea, and our support is unequivocal. We are there. We are backing them up, baby. We got their back. So that says to me, if there is war, we know what's going to happen here. We got 28,000 strong on that 38th parallel. So there is no doubt, and it is not going to waver, especially with all those years in being in Korea since 50s, but since 53 with this so-called truce, I guess is the best way to say it. There was no peace accord, but a truce. So there was meetings with Clinton and the South Korean government. The meetings are at the time where there is massively high tension. You know that old expression about you could hear a pin drop? That's what you could hear happen in this meeting on the Korean Peninsula after Seoul blamed North Korea for sinking their warship in South Korean waters. So the North retaliates back by saying verbally that we did not do this, that you were trying to smear us, and we had nothing to do with killing those men, the 46 sailors, or torpedoing the boat that they were on. We did not sink it. We did not do it. So South Korea has suspended trade with North Korea. They've closed their waters to the North's ships, and they're being very aggressive militarily, to say the least, as they're posturing, flexing a muscle, if you will, toward the nasty neighbor in the North. So will we see a war here? There is a chance that we will. The President Obama has directed military commanders to work with South Korean troops to ensure that they're ready and to deter any kind of aggression from North Korea. And the push is on to get North Korea to reveal what it knows about what happened and to show itself. In China, and that's where Clinton was on Monday, Clinton said the United States supports the finding of the sinking, and she's hoping that China will be there to be in play, too. But China is kind of lying in the weeds in this one. And you can imagine why, because of the trade between China and North Korea. And ultimately, on the chessboard, where are you going to go? Who are you going to call? Where are you going to move your rooks, and where are you going to stand? The squares are small, and they're very, very important. I think we're going to have something happen here, folks. Brace yourself for some big, ugly headlines in the next couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks, maybe not, maybe somehow it goes away, but I just do not believe it will. So BP saying it's going to show Top Kill, and everybody's already horrified after seeing the amount of oil seeping out of that valve, and perhaps that's the reason why they want to keep the live video feed to say, listen, this is what we're trying to do. You know how difficult it is. You've read everything about it. We're trying to pump mud into the site of the oil leak. We're trying to slow the leak to allow the cement to be injected. We're killing the well. That's what we're doing here, and this way you can see it. So everybody on the Hill, of course, has an opinion, and it's a layup for a politician to attack BP or to even point the blame at themselves as far as regulations are concerned. And this was the twist from Senator Harry Reid.
The disturbing new immigration law in Arizona is a result of inaction at the federal level. It, too, is a reminder that both parties need to come together to solve problems.
All right, did you hear that last part? We need to come together to solve problems. That, as he continued on, he was talking about the oil spill as well. So with the illegal problem combined with what's happening in the Gulf and sending 1,200, that's what the president said he's doing, sending 1,200 men to the border, can you imagine what it's going to be like in some of those areas? We're headed to Arizona. We're headed to Texas. We're headed to California. And I think most of the 1,200, or at least a big chunk of them, will be in Arizona. So Reed also, like I said, talked about the oil spill and with the illegal problem, wanting both parties to work together. In the case of BP, it's all about futuristic things, and it is about the offshore oil leases and drilling or not to drill. Right now, as far as Congress is concerned, investigators are saying that BP had these indications of trouble aboard the rig in the hour before the explosion that sank the platform that they should have known. And a memo was actually released by the House Energy and Commerce Committee saying that the well unexpectedly spouted fluid three times in the 51 minutes before the explosion, and the pressure on the drill pipe increased. And I've now said this several times. That's pretty much what happened. But the latest troubles that they're having, they did a memorial service for the 11 people who were killed because of the oil rig collapse. They've got controversy surrounding the federal inspectors overseeing oil drilling in the Gulf of Mexico because they don't want to see that happen. BP is doing its own investigation into what happened on the platform. You've got a report from the Interior Department's Inspector General that found that inspectors in the Minerals Management Service accepted meals and tickets, ready for this, to sporting events like the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl game from the companies they monitored. How objective do you think they would be if that's what was happening? So now the Interior Secretary, Ken Salazar, is ordering a shakeup of the agency overall since the oil spill is now showing what was really going on with the people who were supposed to be inspecting the platforms. They were taking some of the freebies. They were skimming a little bit. And who knows if it resulted in skimping on some of the safety checks, but you have to kind of wonder. By the way, the memorial was held in Jackson, Mississippi, a beautiful town in that area, and they did that for the 11 guys that were there, and some of the families, of course, have sued BP and Transocean and, of course, the owner of the Deepwater Horizon oil rig, which they know that they're going to get sued, and they have lawyers round the clock anyway. But this is a big deal, and this is why this top kill thing is also a big deal. If the procedure fails, they're going to have to fit a second smaller containment dome over a ruptured pipe. A first containment dome, as you remember, doesn't succeed in stopping the leak. Ooh, what to do? What to do? We got some more headlines coming up in just a few.
Are you prepared? Well, you need to be hardcore prepared. There is a difference. To be hardcore prepared, equip yourself with the latest survival gear available at TacTownGear.com. All TacTown gear has been field tested by Canadian and U.S. forces, so you know it's tough. What kind of gear? 72-hour survival kits as low as $55. Holsters for $21. Ankle holsters as low as $40. Flashlights, knives, binoculars, sleeping bags, boots, weapons, accessories, and much more available only at TacTownGear.com. Order now and receive free shipping and a free gift on orders over $175. Need more? Receive free shipping, a free gift, and a 10% discount on orders over $250. Visit TacTownGear.com right now for your preparedness needs. That's TACTownGear.com. TacTownGear.com. Or call TacTown Gear at 418-844-9111. Again, that's 418-844-9111.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
All right, a big shout out to the crew here on America Tonight and to all of you listening to the show. I have to tell you that Matt Johnson couldn't be more excited. It is his Friday as Donovan is in the house, as you know, on our next two shows. So it's a long weekend, sort of, for Matt Johnson, who has one foot out the door and one foot firmly planted in front of the incredibly plush studios.
I don't know where my brain's at, though. My brain might already be out the door.
That is the hardest thing, dude. When you know, you're just whipped. You know, you're just whipped, and you've got, and all of you can relate to this. I know you can. Tom in Texas can. Mark in New York, you definitely can. Don in Wyoming can relate to this. Trey in Kentucky, who's going to Mississippi, can relate to this. And all of you, and Lizzie, all of you guys, and Izzy and Lizzie, all of you, because it's Memorial Day weekend. I don't care what you're doing, if you're chilling with the family or just kicking back or have extra time off or whatever. Even when you're not, if you're retired or whatever, it still feels like a holiday. Like, my mom just retired a year ago. When I talk to her, it's like, oh, it's a holiday. It's like, but isn't every day a holiday for you, Mom? I don't understand, right? But there is something about Memorial Day, and I hope a lot of people do take a few minutes to remember why we do have Memorial Day. And ultimately, in my head, who we're honoring are the people who are have given their lives for this country. But even though traditionally it's not about the people who are currently serving, to me it is. Because of the risk that they're taking day in and day out. And now we're headed into some troubled territory. We're just talking about North Korea and South Korea and ultimately what explodes there, what happens there. And then that's not the only hot spot. Iran is the other hot spot. Afghanistan currently is pulling out of Baghdad. And then troops serving all over the place. You know, not just in one particular area. We don't know. There are some possibilities of other flare-ups. I just don't think you can really ever say enough about how much service to this country and the people who do it really means to all of us. If we didn't have those people, would we have this incredible country we have? And the answer is no, we would not. We would not have that. How about this? Obama kind of getting into it with McCain. And Obama was, I guess, having a private lunch with some Republican senators, and he thought it would help with the tensions in Congress. So he walked into an 80-minute session where Republican senators accused him of duplicity, audacity, and unbending partisanship. And it was a very testy exchange, I guess. And there were, you know, there were some pretty heated exchanges, let's say. Obama's biggest accuser was Bob Corker from Tennessee, who says he feels like the administration undermined his efforts to come up with financial regulation, something that was bipartisan. And, you know, that there were digs that were kind of going on around the room. Four people who were in the room, I read this at Newsmax, said that Obama was upset and defended his administration's handling of the negotiations, and said that there wasn't, he didn't understand what it was, and he said that there was a tremendous, Corker said there was a tremendous disconnect from his words and the actions of his administration. So I guess Obama thought that, you know, he requested the luncheon and thought this would be a good thing to do. And when he left the room, he kind of mumbled to the reporters who were like sharks swimming around waiting for some juice, waiting for some flesh, really. He said it was a good, frank discussion about a whole range of issues, but it doesn't sound like it to me. It sounds like there were a lot of digs going on, and that really not much was accomplished. And, hey, good idea, but in enemy territory, like these were some of the comments. Senator McCain said that he pressed the president on immigration and told Obama we need to secure the border first before we take the other steps. The president didn't agree. And then later, McCain said his views were unchanged by Obama's decision to send the 1,200 National Guard troops to boost security along the border, that it didn't matter. And McCain defended his state's immigration law at the luncheon, which Obama, we know, says could lead to discrimination, and it directs police when questioning people to profile them and all that other sort of stuff. Senator David Vitter, you can imagine what was on his plate, said that he asked Obama that, you know, he tried to address him, saying we need action on the oil spill damaging the Gulf Coast. And he didn't get any specific response except Obama's pledge to have a White House official call him within hours. Hey, Senator, we'll have somebody call your people. Don't worry. We've got an answer. It's pending. You know, there must have been enough pressure on Obama that he's decided that he needs to go to the Gulf because there are a lot of people that are clamoring for more answers and wondering why that hasn't happened. Remember, somebody called just the other day and said, what about Tennessee? He didn't go to Tennessee. It brings up a question that we'll talk about coming up in our next couple of shows, and what your expectations really are for someone who's your leader, somebody who's the president. We have three branches of government for a reason, for the checks and balances. But what is it you expect when we have massive disasters? Do you expect the commander-in-chief to go to the site of those disasters? And I think the way things operate now, you have to do that. Remember, Obama was there. He was at the Gulf of Mexico on May the 2nd. And since then, you know, the spewing gallons have happened, and there's been all kinds of charges about different things, and government regulators have been discovered watching porn instead of monitoring the oil rigs. You know, what's up with that?
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. We're not going to watch this boring live feed. We don't need to watch the other rigs or any of this. We've got better things to do. Don't you know porn is the biggest thing on the internet? We want to be a part of it, man. Come on. Cut us some slack. So he's going to do another photo op, I'm assuming, now in the Gulf. At least that's what's being said. He's headed back to Louisiana on Friday to review the efforts to stop this disastrous oil spill. And, I mean, there's been mounting criticism over the handling of this catastrophe. And I would say, as a president, it's just the way it is, too. Boy, you need to get in there and just push aside some of the other things, even if it's just for that day, for that moment, with Air Force One always on ready, and just roll out there, get out there as fast as you can. I mean, certainly Bush learned that with Katrina and everything that happened, the disaster that happened in the wake of Katrina, the response, how slow it was, FEMA, all the finger-pointing, all that stuff. I mean, that's a perfect example of why you have to handle certain things no matter what, especially in our borders, any kind of a catastrophe. You have to at least appear to be taking control of it. All right, here's a good one for you. 63%, and this isn't a surprise to anyone, right? 63% are now saying they want Obamacare repealed. So support for this, for the repeal of the National Health Care Plan has jumped to the highest level. This is a Rasmussen report, and that's the number that they found, that the repeal ranges from 54% to 58%, and just 32% oppose repealing it. The new findings include 46% who strongly favor the repeal of the health care bill and 25% who strongly oppose it. One-third of the voters now believe the health care plan will be good for the country, which is down 6% from a week ago and the lowest level of confidence for the plan to date. Look, I mean, here's the bottom line. It's here, and now it's just about the rollout and how the next couple of years are sized up. And you've got these majority of people who wish we could roll back this one, but you can't roll this back. So it will be about its implementation, and it will be about, you know, is there something, if it doesn't work and it's completely out of control, which I'm predicting the numbers won't work, then maybe some of it could possibly be tweaked. But I wouldn't expect that anytime soon, because none of it, most of it anyway, I shouldn't say none of it, some of it has, but most of it has not rolled out yet. And it's still years down the road, so it's that anticipation thing that Carly Simon sings about. Coming up around the bend, we got a couple of interesting things. Stories about John Wayne that should entertain you. No, he would be celebrating a birthday today. He'd be 103 years old. And also, another bailout. Do you believe it? Stay with us.
Times are tough, and you got to stretch that dollar. A special invitation for listeners to save. Sign up at doobleshoppers.com today and start paying the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices for the coolest stuff. New premium brand name TVs, laptops, watches, camcorders, Blu-ray players, and more. All with factory warranties, just like you get from a retail chain. Except for the absolute guaranteed lowest internet real prices. They start low and go lower with our reverse auctions. You save even more with your first $8 auction purchase. Doobly will give you an instant 25 dining certificate good at thousands of nationwide restaurants, plus a $500 vacation discount voucher usable at hundreds of resorts around the U.S. and world. Sign up today at doobleshoppers.com. Pay the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices, and listeners receive special rewards. It's worth a peek to keep money in your pocket and the coolest stuff in your home and garage. Sign up today at doobleshoppers.com. That's doobleshoppers.com. You'll be glad you did.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Fatigue, headaches, allergies and asthma, chronic disease. Is your home making you sick? Here's a fact. Our indoor air quality is getting worse, and the causes include chemicals, toxic gases, dust, pollen, dander, and even chemtrail particulates. To rid your home of these contaminants, get the best-priced air purifiers in the industry at airfiltersandpurifiers.com. Our air purifiers are specialized to fit your needs, from allergy sufferers to the sleep-deprived to the chemically sensitive. And with no tax, free shipping, a 5-year warranty, and a 30-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. And healthy, purified, clean air to gain. Call us at 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off when you use promo code GCN. Call 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. Your trusted advisor for clean air.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
If you're looking for trouble, I'll accommodate you. Otherwise, leave it alone.
That's a clip from one of John Wayne's movies, True Grit. The Duke who we need to come to our rescue when we get frustrated with what's happening in Washington. I have fond memories of John Wayne, and the reason why is because my grandfather would watch his movies over and over again, and if I wanted to spend time with him, I would end up sitting on the couch, and I'd be watching those movies as well, and he always had some funny stories to tell me about him. But I'll tell you, one of the best storytellers around, I mean, he is really good. Stephen Shohat. He's got the book to prove it, Hollywood Stories. He's a Hollywood tour guide. It's like it seems like he's just pulling layer after layer after layer off of some of the rumors and some of the stories that have been flying around for a long time about all kinds of celebrities. Last time we had him on, we were zigging and zagging all over the place and talking about a lot of different celebs like Johnny Depp and Jack Nicholson was somebody else that comes to mind that we talked about. But this time we wanted to focus on John Wayne because this would have been on the 26th that would be John Wayne's birthday. How old would John Wayne be, Stephen, if he were alive today?
Hey, Kate, 103.
Ooh, 103. Hey, some people live to be 103, so, you know.
Right, it might have been tough for him because he pretty much abused his body a lot. But
kidding.
Yeah.
What was his real...
He was a great guy.
Oh, yeah. What was his real name? People love to know. You know this. Because
Michael Morrison.
Yeah.
And when he was 11 years old, he used to walk to school each day in Glendale with a dog named Duke. And he'd pass by a firehouse, and the firemen knew his father was struggling a little bit, so they tossed him a few sandwiches. But they couldn't remember that name, so they'd always say, hey, here comes Big Duke and Little Duke. And so that's how he got the nickname Duke. And that name he answered to more often than he answered to the name John Wayne, actually.
Yeah, no kidding. How did he get his start? What drew him to the movie business?
Well, what happened was is that Tom Mix, who was a silent film star, wanted to get tickets to the USC football games, and John Wayne was a player on that team. And so Tom Mix went to Howard Jones and said, well, who was the coach of USC, how could I get free tickets, even though, you know, he was doing very well, Tom Mix. And the coach said, well, some of my boys need jobs, summer jobs, and if you provide them at your studio, I'll give you all the tickets you want. And so Marion Michael Morrison was one of the kids, one of the football players who got a job over at Fox, and he just started expressing an interest in making movies. At first he worked as a prop man, and one of the things that happened was in the summer of 1927, the young John Wayne went body surfing in Huntington Beach, and he was trying to impress some girls on the shore, and he hurt his shoulder very badly, so badly that he couldn't play football anymore. So he went back to USC in the fall, and the coach Jones was really mad at him. He said, Morrison, you're useless to me. I'm taking your scholarship away. So without the football scholarship, he gave up his dreams of becoming a lawyer and decided to go full-time back to work at Fox. And he had already been in some college plays, and he began to express an interest in being an actor. And he was noticed by the director, John Ford, who used him as a stuntman in a couple of movies. And John Ford recommended him to another director named Raoul Walsh. And Raoul Walsh was making a movie called The Big Trail, and he one day approached Morrison and he said, young man, you know, I'm making this movie and I think you'd be perfect for the Indian Scout. Do you know anything about shooting or riding or roping? He said, no, I don't know anything about that. He goes, well, don't worry, the stuntman will teach you. But we got to do something about your name, because Marion Morrison, that's not a good name for a movie star. You know, why don't we rename you after Mad General Anthony Wayne from the Revolutionary War? And then he said, well, wait a minute, Tony Wayne doesn't sound strong enough to me. We'll just make it simple. We'll just call you John. And so that's how John Wayne got his name and his major start in the movie The Big Trail.
The Big Trail. So he goes from The Big Trail, but when does he really explode, Stephen? When does everybody know who the Duke is?
The big movie is 1939, and it's Stagecoach. And what happened was The Big Trail was a big flop. He had about 10 years of being in B-movies, which made him sort of a matinee star, but really didn't catch the eye of really big Hollywood producers. And he was always very good friends with John Ford. And John Ford, Henry Fonda, John Wayne, Ward Bond, they used to go out and drink quite a bit. But John Wayne would never think of asking for John Ford's help in his career. And then one day John Ford was just casually mentioning, hey, Duke, have you heard of a story called The Big Trail? Have you heard of a story called Stagecoach? I'm thinking of making it into a movie. Who do you think could play the Ringo Kid? And without hesitation, John Wayne said, Lloyd Nolan. And John Ford said, really? Well, Lloyd Nolan, he's okay, but I was thinking of somebody else. He said, Duke, you know, I want you to play it. And for weeks after that, John Wayne was so nervous that John Ford would actually remember his suggestion and pick Lloyd Nolan over him. And I'll tell you what happened. When they premiered The Big Trail, a lot of the kids who had seen John Wayne in the Saturday matinees, they had now grown up. They were of college age. The first time he appeared on the screen, John Wayne was actually sitting in the movie theater. He twirled his Winchester rifle around. It was one of the great cinematic entrances of all time. He got a standing ovation in the theater, and that's when he knew that he had made it.
Yeah, and it was really all about the Western because, you know, talk about being typecast. He was, what, 6'4"? And when he put on all the hat or anything that was cowboy-looking, he fit right in that saddle, and he really played that part well, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right. In fact, one time John Wayne gave an interview and said that he'd like to play something different from either a Western hero or a soldier. And the wife of one of his regular co-stars, Harry Carey, she got really mad at him after the interview and said, you know, people depend on you to play these parts. We've got movies centered around you. You're a big star. You have responsibility to the people who made you big. Don't go off and pretend like you can be a very versatile actor. I mean, that's not good for your career. We need you to play these same parts over and over and over. And after that, with some exceptions, he pretty much stuck to that type of role.
So Stagecoach really did it for him, but as you move forward through the movies that he did, what do you think was his biggest movie, his biggest box office success, the one people still talk about?
Oh, there are a lot of them. The Searchers was a tremendous one. And can I tell you a quick story about that movie?
Yeah.
It was made in 1956 with John Ford. And they were making it in the Monument Valley in Utah, and they used to go up there all the time. And the only problem was that they would always get sandbagged by the weather. It was very unpredictable. What happened was John Ford, he said, "Duke, this time it's foolproof. We're going to write the weather into the script. If it snows, you'll chase the Comanche through the snow." And John Wayne said, "Well, that's great, but how are you going to know what the weather is?" And he says, "Oh, I didn't think about that." So he goes down to the Navajo. John Ford went down to the Navajo trading post, and he always liked to give the local Navajo people jobs because it was a very depressed area. So he found an old medicine man, and he says, "Sir, do you have special powers that can predict the weather?" And the medicine man went into a trance, shut his eyes, and said, "Rain." And sure enough, it did rain. And John Ford was so grateful. He said the next day he paid him $100. He said, "Tell me of the weather again today." So the guy shuts his eyes again, goes into a trance, says, cloudy. So every day for a week, the medicine man predicted the weather. Every day for a week, John Ford paid him. And then one day the medicine man says, cannot tell weather today. And John Ford's like, "I'm depending on you." He says, transistor radio broke.
You need a rim shot for that. That's a good one. Sure. And so
that was a really big hit. That was the only time that movie where John Ford actually John Wayne did a scene, and John Ford had always been critical of his acting, and he actually applauded after John Wayne did one of his scenes. It was very dynamic. And then the cameraman came out with some really bad news. He said, "Mr. Ford, we didn't get the shot." And he goes, "Why not? And what's that noise?" And they went into the other room, and it turned out that John Wayne's co-star, Ward Bond, had pulled the camera out of the wall, the camera plug out of the wall socket, and was shaving himself with an electric razor. So unfortunately, it didn't get on film.
Oh, that's crazy. And we have just a couple of minutes left. How many movies altogether did the Duke make?
Oh, gosh, I don't know the number offhand, but it's over 100. I'd have to look up the exact number. But you know the amazing thing, Kate, he was broke after 100 movies.
Wow.
In 1959, he and Fred McMurray both had the same business manager. But Fred McMurray was a very careful man and was calling the guy up every week saying, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Tell me everything," and took control of his own investments.
Sure.
While John Wayne was a very trusting guy and said, "Oh, he's taking care of me. I'm fine." And then he found out in 1959, everything he had was gone.
That's depressing, boy. And then luckily he still could go to work and make some more movies, but it was fun to watch
absolutely.
Him in all those westerns. Crazy. Stephen, always a pleasure to have you on the story. You are such a good storyteller, and people who take any of your tours have to feel very lucky. They must pinch themselves. Thanks for joining us on ATN.
Thank you. The book is called Hollywood Stories.
Fact. 4 million people in the U.S. have hepatitis C due to liver damage.
Fact.
Cirrhosis of the liver is the eighth leading cause of death among Americans.
Fact.
Alcohol, many prescription drugs, food additives, pesticides, and environmental toxins damage the liver.
Fact.
1 in 10 Americans is or has been affected by liver or gallbladder disease.
Fact.
Anything that keeps the liver from doing its job can put your life in danger. Protect your liver by visiting researchedherbs.com and learning more about the world's number one selling all-natural
liver support formula, Live52. It is the only herbal liver supplement that is backed by over 190 published clinical trials and endorsed by 250,000 healthcare professionals in 76 countries worldwide. Don't wait to protect your liver. Visit us at researchedherbs.com or call 1-800-973-1486. That's 1-800-973-1486 or go to researchedherbs.com. All the goodness with none of the side effects.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Fatigue, headaches, allergies and asthma, chronic disease. Is your home making you sick? Here's a fact. Our indoor air quality is getting worse, and the causes include chemicals, toxic gases, dust, pollen, dander, and even chemtrail particulates. To rid your home of these contaminants, get the best-priced air purifiers in the industry at airfiltersandpurifiers.com. Our air purifiers are specialized to fit your needs, from allergy sufferers to the sleep-deprived to the chemically sensitive. And with no tax, free shipping, a 5-year warranty, and a 30-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. And healthy, purified, clean air to gain. Call us at 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off when you use promo code GCN. Call 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. Your trusted advisor for clean air.
Decision-making continues on the Hill as a senator from Pennsylvania, Robert Casey, has come up with a real doozy, legislation to bail out union pension funds that are drying up. Joining us to talk about this bogus bailout is Andrew Langer, president of the Institute for Liberty. Andrew, always fun to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be there, Kate. And let's keep in mind that it's $165 billion to only bail out private union pension funds. This isn't even focusing on the massive unfunded liabilities or the massive liabilities that are being faced by public employee unions.
Yeah, so my question is, how do they come up with these, I call them guesstimates, $165 billion. You and I both know even that number is probably going to increase. I don't understand how, it's like fraud. Oh, it's this $165 billion. And the number, first of all, I don't think we should be going there. I don't think we should bail out the unions for some bad decision making. But the number could, who knows how big it could explode to. And tell everybody who gets to pay for that, Andrew.
Well, we all get to pay for it. I mean, this is really camel's nose under the tent sort of stuff here. Essentially, you know, it's like this. You get to this point in the legislative cycle. You know, here we are, just about 6 months out from the fall elections. And they're throwing as much stuff out there, for the American public to try to digest, hoping that, well, knowing that we won't be able to comprehend it all and hoping that they can sneak something like this through. And what you're talking about essentially is a massive influx of government money to pay off the unions which have been fueling the Democratic machine.
So we can only hope that there's going to be a lot of opposition to this, because I also agree with what you're saying, that this is payback time, and I don't understand why the taxpayers have to pay for bad, mangled pension, you know, decisions that others foisted on the people who worked for them in the first place. So I would think there'd be opposition mounting to this. Don't you think so?
Well, I think opposition is going to start. It's one of those things where you have folks, you know, the powers that be, that have fundamentally misunderstood the ire of the American people. You know, they try to classify it as, you know, we're obviously there's a racism issue that they say that is out there. There's just the anti-incumbent issue. And when push comes to shove, what it all boils down to is folks are tired of not being listened to, especially when it comes to massive amounts of government spending. And it's not just at the federal level, but at the state level and the local level. I just came from the second in the series of hearings in my own county in which people are really angry that our county government, my county government is talking about 12% increase in personal income tax and 13% increases in personal property tax. And so, you know, you have folks in government who have a tin ear towards this. They don't understand it. And you have other folks who have their own agendas at work. But the bottom line is still the same. We're going to spend massive amounts of public money to bail out yet another entity in American society.
Yeah, and that hearing is scheduled for Thursday. And I don't think that it, I don't know. We'll see what happens, but I think there will be the opposition. That's why we talked about that. And I hope that bill doesn't pass, because it's like you mentioned, there's so much noise out there that you're so confused. There's no way to dissect it all at once, and it's happening fast. Do you think there's something to that? Like, let's just try to ram through as many things as we can and see what we can snake through before anyone really notices.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the bottom line is you've got so many different wheels in motion. Keep in mind that, you know, especially when it comes to the regulatory issues or the new mandates that are coming out, let's set aside the spending issue for a second. You know, you have folks who have a hard time, filtering through the noise that comes out of Congress. Stuff comes out of Congress, then it goes to the federal executive branch, and even fewer people pay attention to what the executive branch agencies are doing. In terms of the spending issues, it's actually much easier for people to latch onto those because you're talking about something very, very concrete. You know, $165 billion is something that folks can actually focus on and get their heads around. I mean, it's a massive number, don't get me wrong. But
boy,
it's not that sort of airy-fairy discussion of say, corporate average fuel economy standards or regulating CO2 as a pollutant. I mean, that's stuff that folks can understand.
Sure.
But they really get numbers. They really get dollar amounts.
Yeah. You know, part of what you do as the president of the Institute for Liberty, part of what I like that you guys do is you're all about, you're in there fighting for really the small guy, the small business, which we're all about. We talk about it all the time on America Tonight. So last week we were kicking it around with the Senate financial reform. That goes through. Your reaction to that for small businesses?
Well, I mean, you know, the bottom line is, well, we've got a couple of themes that we do. And let me just, we'll talk about small businesses in a second. But one of the things we've been talking a lot about at IFL is what we're calling, at least in the near term, the illusion of solution. I haven't come up with a better term yet. I'm still working on that. But it's this constant drumbeat that comes out of both the administration and the Democrats in Congress that they create these massive schemes that are designed to fix some problem. But in fact, they don't fix the problem. Like they promise that they're going to cut healthcare costs and increase access. And what does their healthcare bill do? It increases costs and decreases access. The financial reform bill is part and parcel of this. It says it's supposed to, make it so that we don't have these businesses that are too big to fail. But in fact, it enshrines too big to fail and creates massive bailout opportunities for these businesses that are all of a sudden too big to fail. And so, you know, at the same time, the impact on small business in the end is that as you regulate these entities ad infinitum, you're going to reduce the ability of small businesses to get much needed credit. Now, the administration has, there are two sort of fundamental ways of looking at small business from government. There's the way our side looks at it, which is that government largely should get out of the way of small business, that we've got a $1 trillion regulatory state. If we cut red tape, small businesses will hire, et cetera, et cetera. The other side looks at small business, and they're always looking for ways to deliver capital to these small businesses, either through government contracts or access to government-backed credit. And what they're, and small businesses traditionally have never used government-backed credit programs because they're very, very hard to use. They don't offer competitive rates, et cetera, et cetera. And so what this does is it will effectively squeeze out, what the financial reform bill does is it will effectively squeeze out consumer-driven credit opportunities for these small businesses and force folks into the SBA programs that they don't want to use, that are very, very hard to use, or in fact they will simply not take advantage. And a lot of them will fail as a result or have very, very rough times ahead. So as they're trying to fix the economy by engaging in this financial services reform, what they're doing is actually going to further hamstring the economy.
Yeah. Something else that that you guys talk about that I've floated around a lot on America Tonight is another thing that's kind of a ruse that a lot of people don't understand, and that's the VAT, the valued added tax. In Greece, you see what's happening, the riots and the craziness over the euro and what's going to happen ultimately with the euro. And part of what the people there are furious about is the value-added tax that now is being shoved down their throat. Why should we be why should the people listening be concerned about a VAT?
Well, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where Europe is a prime example of what goes wrong when you promise a VAT in exchange for reducing income taxes and then or eliminating income taxes, and then not only do you not eliminate the income tax, you raise them while at the same time charging people exorbitant rates for a VAT. A VAT is a sales tax on steroids. Now, I know a lot of folks want to move to some sort of a national sales tax, but imagine if at every piece in the chain of custody that a product has going from inventor to marketplace or concept to marketplace, at every stage there, an additional tax is added on to that good. So, you know, let's just take a piece of paper. You tax the chopping down of trees and the sale of those trees to the paper mill. You tax the paper that's processed and goes to the warehouse for the book distributor. You charge it when it goes to the publishing house. You charge the book when it comes out of the publishing house. And you're essentially adding to those fees. And essentially what ultimately happens is the consumer pays the bill and pays through the nose. There's no cost savings that's involved. Because keep in mind, corporations pay no taxes. Corporations pass those taxes on to consumers. So consumers are always footing the bill for those things.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it was fun kicking it in the can with you down the road, so to speak, especially in talking about this next big bailout that people are going to get hit with right between the eyes, the $165 billion-plus for the unions for some bad decision-making. Andrew Langer, president of IFL. Always, like I said, the pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks.
Anytime, Rob. Thanks. Let me know.